This is Hortibiz News Radio.
It should be a very interesting topic, but it's also a topic. I think there will always be a lot of discussion about. When you ask one grower, it will be a heaven, and the other will think it will be like a threat. Jasper, when we start with you, vertical farming, is it the future of horticulture?
Not in the way you say it. It is part of the future of horticulture. You have to be honest. Depends on the climate zone you're in. If you can do the things with greenhouses like we do in the Netherlands. But if you're in extreme climates, the question is what works better from different respects. Would that be a greenhouse, high tech, or would that be a vertical farm, or would that be another solution? But it's certainly part of the future, and you see that in Europe, but also outside Europe.
Yeah, but when you look at the company you work for, Planet Farms, what does vertical farming mean
for Planet Farms or for Italy?
For
Planet Farms, it's clear that it's an important part of the future of fresh food production in Europe, and of course. It sounds like a crazy idea to start a vertical farm in Italy with high energy prices and Italians. Food is so in their culture. Can you make something like lettuce in a vertical farm and then put it on the Italian market for the right price? But I think Planet Farms already proved that this can be done and that this can be made to a success in Italy. And if that's correct, then it should be possible to do the same thing in other European countries.
When we talk about vertical farming, when it comes to Dutch horticulture, it's mainly when you talk to growers, they don't really see it as a solution for themselves. They don't really see it as a solution for the future of Dutch horticulture. How do you see it? Is it also a part of the future of Dutch horticulture?
I'm sure yes. It's like Jasper already said, it's part of the total production system. In some places you have a 100% vertical farm facility, maybe Italy, maybe in other regions. But the technology of vertical farming, the closed environment without daylight, could also benefit to the Dutch horticulture. Not specifically in producing lettuce and tomatoes, but for example, for young plants, young material, for more equal quality of young material, it's a very helpful system. It helps you to grow multi-level, and that can help to reduce, at the end of the line, it can help you to reduce the cost for the total production in square meters, in energy cost, whatever. But it's not the solution. There are Dutch growers using this technology already for their own young plants, for propagation and this kind of things. So yes, it's part of the total chain.
Is it also part of the research of Delphi?
Yes, yes, we do. We learned a lot, by the way. You know, there are bad stories about vertical farming. There are very positive stories about vertical farming. I think both are true. But vertical farming is still very immature compared to Dutch greenhouses, for example. Tomatoes in Dutch greenhouse, we know how to grow everywhere the same. But vertical farming, each farm has different technologies, different cooling system, different air movement and all these kind of things. And then the variety selection, Jasper already mentioned, and all those things together, there has still a lot to be developed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Henry, you travel around the world a lot, you told us. You also see a lot of vertical farms, companies that are already using this in practice. What's your opinion about this? What do you see? Are there a lot of difference when you compare countries and continents to each other?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point that Jasper made about the drivers for vertical farming is a very important one, right? You need to have, today, really, vertical farming cannot compete on price. So in my opinion, in most cases, so you need to really have a premium customer base and utilize the technology to create a higher value product. Like any controlled environment solution, you get more control. And if you spend more technology, you get even more control. And vertical farming is sort of on the most high-tech side of CEA. So, you know, you need to have something that justifies that. It could be the imports. It could be food safety issues like we see in Asia as part of the driver. But it really does differ around the world in a couple ways. I mean, you know, some places it differs, for example, because of the way that projects are funded and the way that they get started, the journey from a sort of small pilot farm to a large farm. Some people try to skip ahead of that. Some regions have lower labor costs. So you could see a vertical farm, for example, like the largest in the world, Bustanica in Saudi Arabia. I was surprised. It does not have as much automation as many of the vertical farms that I've seen in Europe or the United States. And that's because of differences in the labor costs in part. So there are differences in them, even though they seem like a single box. But there's also a lot of similarities. I mean, all of them need to be powered by LED lights. All of them have similar issues around climate control is a very consistent issue. All of them have to really struggle with biosecurity, especially at the beginning when they're training their teams, because once you get something in there, even more than a greenhouse, you could lose a lot of crop. So there's really quite a few differences, but some similarities. And one similarity, which also was mentioned, is the sort of limited crop variety that exists in vertical farming. We do see typically leafy greens, basil, herbs, microgreens grown in most of the world's vertical farms.
Okay. Well, when you look at normal, if you can call it that way, the regular greenhouses that are used in high-tech horticulture, Jasper, they are not the same as they were 10 years ago. Was there a lot of learnings from vertical farming as well? And were there a lot of techniques from vertical farming introduced inside the greenhouse?
Yeah, I think you could say that if you as a grower with a greenhouse, if you have a small research facility that is closed, it's much easier to repeat certain events and see what the effect is on your crop. So you see in many companies with young plants and in the ornamentals that they want to understand what they do in a greenhouse. But it's so very difficult because 1 year and one season is not the same as the same season in the next or the previous year. I think we learn a lot. Ad already mentioned that. And you have to understand, for instance, that in such a vertical farm, of the radiation that you give, it's almost 100% light as radiation. And in a greenhouse, you have 50% light and 50% long-waved heat radiation. So transpiration of plants in a vertical farm and in a greenhouse is not always the same. And in greenhouses, I think we have learned from yield and quality in vertical farms that with some extra tools like a double screen or triple screen with dynamic light, with dehumidification, yeah, you move in the direction of a vertical farm in which you can really take care of all the climatical factors. So greenhouses are, especially high-tech greenhouses, are not getting cheaper, eh?
No. What do you hope people will learn on this topic during GreenTech when they visit the sessions at that program?
Now, I think if greenhouse growers from the Netherlands visit the vertical farming pavilion, they can check the technology that is used there and then see how they can translate that to a high-tech greenhouse industry. And for instance, especially when you look in cannabis, I think, I'm not involved in the subject, but I know that the airflow in cannabis is interesting to look at from a greenhouse perspective, because transpiration also in a dense tomato crop is sometimes an issue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I think we're done about vertical farming.
Thanks to Jaco Strating, moderator in GreenTech Radio podcast. If you want to listen the whole story about this, watch us, keep us, and touch us later on.
Welcome to the world's only 24/7 horticultural radio station. This is HortiBiz News Radio. 24/7 news, information, and the best music vibes to grow sustainable. This is HortiBiz News Radio. HortiBiz News Radio.